I'll start now. I started. I need to hear what you sound like. I can't see you.
Okay, fuck it. I'm gonna freestyle.
Okay.
My name is J-O-E from the JBC. You know that I'm a motherfucking real MC. Best of the best, north, south, east, and west. I got one pinky up your butthole and my hand on your breast.
Fuck you, Joey.
Yeah, that sounds pretty good.
Welcome to the Jason Show. Hit it, Jason.
Hola, muchachos y muchachas. Las jugadoras de fútbol tienen las chachas grandes, ¿sí? Y mi perro quiere comer con la rana de Inglaterra. Oui. And so, what I'm trying to say is, Joe, welcome to episode 78 of JBC, or as I like to call it, part two of the music episode, because we did not nearly get finished with what we wanted to talk about last week.
Seems to be the case, because we went for 90 minutes, and it seemed that we wanted to talk some more.
Can I delay us from actually getting back to it by making a couple of points?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, first point I want to make is, I love the internet because in order to stop YouTube from playing earlier, I was listening to Adam Heart Mother by Pink Floyd, and Joe correctly guessed that it was Pink Floyd. In order to make that stop so we could do a sound test, I typed Ariana Grande in shorts into my little toolbar there, and you know what the internet did for me? It corrected my spelling. And this is the world we live in, Joe. It doesn't matter how you spell the woman's name. If you want to see her in shorts, you're going to see her in shorts.
Yeah, that's where we're at.
And she's a singer, so it fits this episode. Here's my other point I wanted to make, and I'm going to make this as boring as possible. So when I was at your place, and actually I wasn't at your place, I was at a party place that you were hosting a party at in
on yes. of,
and all the other prepositions. You guys were drinking Diet Dr. Pepper and Captain Morgan, right?
That's right.
Yeah, what'd you call that?
Well, we called it,
remember?
I might have even made this up. Was it called a Dr. Fuckface?
You I thought you called it a Dr. Feelgood, but is it Dr. Fuckface? Was that the...
I remember when Ian was on, I was like, well, let's just call it a Dr. Fuckface. Okay. And then he goes... And then he started singing Motley Crue. He's the one they call Dr. Fuckface.
Okay. Well, the reason I ask is because I've got a bunch of Diet Dr. Pepper. Costco had a sale. And I don't have any Captain Morgan, but I have Absolut Vodka because Costco had a sale. And I'm mixing these two together, and I think I've decided I know what I'm going to call it. It's not going to be a Dr.
There,
Fuckface.
There is a name for that. And by the way, Dr. Fuckface isn't the real name. It's not like I made up that drink. It's like a, you know, that's my. What I did was I would put spiced rum.
Yeah.
That's what you're talking about, right? Spiced rum and Diet Dr. Pepper. We called it a Dr. Fuckface, but it's actually called a either a Captain Pepper or a Dr. Morgan.
Okay.
You're drinking is vodka and Diet Dr. Pepper, and there's an actual name for that, which I think is funny, but I want to hear yours first.
Okay, so I made up a name. I hope it's better than the real thing. And by the way, if I walked into a bar, you know people walk into a bar and they'll use like abbreviations to ask for drinks. It's like, I want a 7 and 7, you know, or, you know, Jack and Coke. I wonder if you could walk in a bar and say, give me a Captain and Doctor, and like, would the bartender punch you in the face with both fists or just one, hoping it would knock you out? Just boom. No, you can't have a Captain and Doctor. What was I going to say? Diet Doctor. Oh, yeah, so I've decided to name this drink now. There's a tiny little story I want to tell about it first. It's not a really good reason to tell the story, but I'm going to tell it anyway because, I don't know, I'm on a podcast and you can't stop me. Well, you can stop me, Joe, but our listener can't. I mean, he probably could. I mean, he could fly here from wherever he's at, but it's been hot in Texas. It's been hot.
Well, here, let me try. Stop it, Jason.
I'm not going to stop it. So anyway,
okay.
Long ass time ago, I was living in the Bay Area. I had some friends who knew people who were in a band, and one night the band was playing at this place, and we went there, and it turns out they were a cover band, and I know, like, a lot of people say cover bands are lame, but these guys were freaking awesome. They had that place packed, and everybody was partying hard. I'd never seen anything like it. It was a real love fest. Now, it was a good time. I don't remember what they played, but they were really good at what they did. So everybody's rocking out, having a good time, and I'm having a good time, and what they were serving that night at this bar or whatever it was, this club, was something they called Strong Island iced teas, which is like a Long Island iced tea, but I guess with extra liquor in it, which I didn't think was possible, right? So, yeah. Just the only reason I'm telling the story is because apparently there was a woman there who really wanted my body in a bad way, but I didn't know about this because she made the mistake of telling her friend who didn't want me sexually, this friend, but she kind of felt protective of me. And only told me later, like when we got in the car to go home at like 2 in the morning, she said, and I can't remember her name, but she goes, "Well, I guess you can fuck Kelly if you want to." And I was like, "Really? Where is she?" She went home. I'm like, why didn't you tell me this 4 hours ago?
That's bad timing.
I could have, you know, fucked Kelly and then had 3 hours and 55 minutes of the show left to have fun in. Anyway,
But hold on. She was protective of what? She was trying to protect your penis from pleasurable sensation?
I don't know. Maybe she thought this
Kelly
would...
She was trying to protect you emotionally.
I don't know. Maybe. I think, you know what she wanted? She thought of me as like her little brother or her little boy or her little just, you know, pure and innocent kind of like nice guy. And she didn't want me to get, you know, skank juice all up and down my face, which is like it to her detriment because.
Which is what, that's what you were looking forward to.
Yeah. I mean, there's no day in my life when I don't want skank juice all up and down in my face. So, what was I saying? Oh yeah. Strong Island iced teas, right? Well, I've decided to call this. I'm going to call the Diet Dr. Pepper and Absolute Vodka. I'm going to call it the Wrong Island iced tea because it kind of looks like iced tea. But not really. And I've had a lot of them today. I can't seem to get drunk off vodka, Joe. I don't know what's going on.
Wrong Island iced tea.
It's a Wrong Island
iced
tea.
Now, you can look this up.
Okay.
And it is the internet, by the way, just to make another side comment about the internet.
Yeah.
There's lots of benefits to the internet. But then you start thinking that the internet's telling you the truth. But then you've actually just come in contact with some other asshole like me or you that just made up a name for a drink anyway. I'm telling you like it's the truth, like it's some socially accepted name for a drink, which is the first drink when I searched for the drink, and that's the first thing that came up. And what the name is a Dr. Kevorkian.
Dr. Kevorkian. I like that. Yeah. I like that. Now, is that specifically Absolute vodka or is it just any vodka?
That's cool because with your drink is Absolute vodka.
Yeah, because so that's what happened.
That is a Wrong Island iced tea.
That's
now, if you're, I'd say a Dr. Kevorkian is going to be like a Tito's handmade.
Tito's? Okay.
Vodka.
Yeah.
Or maybe like Kettle One.
Yeah. Wait. Or Grey Goose. No, see if it's Grey Goose, it'd be something.
Actually, let's go low grade because we're also talking about assisted suicide. So let's go like really fucking low.
Yeah.
Like the worst vodka ever. That's a Dr. Kevorkian.
What's the worst vodka ever?
I don't know. I'm going to – first thing that comes to my mind is Smirnoff.
Yeah. Okay, Smirnoff. We'll do a Smirnoff. And if you get an even worse vodka, and I'm going to Google like the cheapest – cheapest ass vodka. There it is. I'm going to Google that. Sorry if you can hear me typing.
And we're back to the benefits of the internet.
Yeah, I'm going to do – I'm going to – so there's Popov, Svedka, Burnett's. Oh, Burnett's. There you go. Boom. Nailed it. Okay. So – this is what I'm going to name a Burnett's and Diet Dr. Pepper. No, not even Diet Dr. Pepper. Like a Diet – you know those Dr. Pepper knockoffs? Like what am I thinking of? Like
Mr. Pibb?
No. Even worse, like the Walmart variety.
Or like Dr. Thunder or something.
Yeah. What's the more Googling. Walmart version.
I think I'm right. I think it's Dr. Thunder.
Of Dr. Pepper. And it says let's see. Sam's Choice.
Come
on. Okay, here we go. This is a whole list dedicated to knockoffs. There's Dr. Chill, Dr. Dynamite, Dr. Thunder.
Did I get it?
There's
Dr. Thunder.
Well, Dr. Thunder is at the Eckerd Drugstore.
Well, I get it at Walmart.
Yeah, you're right. And then the other one is Dr. Riffic. So there's a Dr. Skipper. Boom. That's what we're going with. Dr. Skipper and Burnett's vodka. We're going to call that a Bong Island iced tea.
Nice.
Yeah.
Okay, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the booze episode of the Genius.
Well, booze and alcohol go together like, you know, the left...
You mean booze and music go together?
What did I say?
Booze and alcohol certainly go together. That was my favorite mistake of the year, at least.
Booze and alcohol.
But you told a story about going to see a cover band, like, you know, it's all tied together. You're right.
Yeah.
Booze and music go together like pork and beans. And is anybody really into pork and beans?
I imagine that
if a guy... Does it really go together?
I think there's a guy out there who nicknamed his girl Beans, his girlfriend Beans, so he could say, you know, I really like pork and beans. Betcha. Mm. What do you think?
Hey-o! That was awesome. Good job.
Thanks. So, we were talking about music last week, and we're going to keep talking about it today. There was one point I didn't get to. I don't know if it's, like, relevant, but I didn't know if you had other points.
How about this? Can you – I'm sorry to cut you off, but I was interested today. I was thinking about it. I'm like, man, it seemed like we could have just kept going, just maybe as a little bit of a recap. We'd spent way too much time, though I listened back to it, and I was like, by my standards, it was a really interesting conversation.
Yeah, I thought so.
Our listener might disagree. But we spent a lot of time on, you know, improvisation – versus kind of like jazz forms or whatever.
Then we
took a hard turn into what I think is a horrifying genre of music.
And we
spent a lot of time on that, went all the way to the end where I felt like I needed to back up, and like I was second guessing myself, because I'm like, now I think I'm just making fun of someone who has a problem. And it's not fair.
Right.
Now then we could have just kept going and going. Instead, I sang a Billy Joel song about sex workers.
Yeah. It was so beautiful.
And then we ended it there. But we did have this sense that, okay, we needed to talk more. So that was my recap. That's like previously on JBC.
Yeah. So one of the things we talked about at the end there was mumble rap. Specifically,
yes,
Lil Pump and Lonce and the other guy. And I was talking with my dad, Danger Lee Daniels, and I mentioned mumble rap to him. I said, go Google Lil Pump. And he did, and he listened to it. And this is what he wrote to me in a text message, and I'm reading this word for word. Okay, I say word for word, but just, you know, caveat, my dad's typing skills are legendarily bad. So I may correct as I go, just so. Okay.
I understand. I've had the same experience with your father. Go ahead.
Okay. So just listen to Lil Pump. I found his music eclectic and contentious, with tragic undertones of social controversy and angst. The lyrics were ethereal and at times contrived, but somehow still relevant at a guttural level. In time, I feel they will solidify a meaningful following of societal outliers, marginalized by contemporary norms, but still viable as a visceral... at a visceral level. Oh, wait, that was Lil Wayne. Never mind.
Oh, I was going to say, if you were rapid fire and you could just go ahead, if you could go ahead and right after that description, play a song from Lil Pump.
That's what we should do.
So we could just get a real good.
Gucci Gang, 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 Gucci Gang. There you go.
But there's this other part that says Gucci Gang, Gucci Gang, Gucci Gang, Gucci Gang, Gucci Gang, Gucci Gang, Gucci Gang. My bitch love do cocaine. My bitch love do cocaine.
That's right.
Gucci Gang, Gucci Gang, Gucci Gang, Gucci. And then he just passes out and falls over.
I was trying to make up a mumble rap, and I'm going to brag here a little. I couldn't do it because I liked it too much. I liked what I came up with too much. It essentially was something along the lines of, you tripping, so I'm gripping my knife. You don't know if I mean my pistol or my piss tool. And it just went on from there. And I
automatically, thought, no, that's way too fucking good for the
genre.
I know,
yeah. And it was all...
Oh, my God, yeah.
Yeah. So, anyway, that's what we talked about.
The bar's laying on the ground, so all you have to do is, like, tiptoe over it.
Yeah. Tripping over the bar set by a Lil Pump. That's what we're going to name tonight's show.
Okay, well, it's a candidate. You never know.
We've only just begun. Could be the name of it.
You know, just going through this might be fun, and this is good because we're going. That's why I feel like we felt like we needed to do another episode, because just the topic of mumble rap needs a little bit more attention.
Do you think so? Well, okay. Well, let's do it. Yeah,
I want to be careful with that. But this is a comedy podcast.
That's true.
At least or so we claim. And I think it might be really funny just to list what some of the artists are okay. named. We have Lil Pump. Yeah. We have Lil Xan. Yeah. We have Lonzo. But I think if you just go down, just see if you can rapid fire some of the names, some of the stars of the genre.
You want me to do this? You want me to Google this? This
stuff? Maybe I could do it.
We'll do it.
The listener doesn't know, but I'm having technical difficulties. I don't know.
We can maybe
what the hell.
We can take turns. Like
sure.
Yeah. Okay. Let's see. I'm gonna. Here we go. All right. I got a list here. Oh, by the way,
right.
The mumble rap name I was gonna take if I ever get into mumble rap. Seriously, this is it. You ready? Mm-hmm. Lil Big.
Oh yeah.
Lil Big. What do you think?
I think it's good.
And I would only rap about. I would only mumble rap about books by Thomas Berger, who wrote the novel Little Big Man, which was turned into a movie starring Dustin Hoffman. So, I think it
again,
would be
again
like,
too sophisticated,
probably.
Sir. But I like that. Lil Big, just because it's funny. See, yeah. I was going to... My name would just be Lil Bitch.
Lil Bitch. It is spelled that way. B-I-Y-U-T-C-H.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, you got to get the... Phonetically, it's got to be right.
It's B-I-Y-E-T-C-H.
It's Lil Bitch.
Bitch. Bitch.
With an exclamation.
Yeah.
Of course.
Yeah. Okay, so... they say Cardi B is a mumble rapper. Is she a mumble rapper?
Apparently she's – look, I've heard some of her stuff, and she's way too sophisticated. But she does affiliate herself with some of these assholes that are just – and I'm not kidding when I say this – that are rapping from beneath a toilet.
This is what I remember from last week.
Not at the foot of a toilet. And not with their head in a toilet.
But from beneath.
That was earlier in the evening. They're now rapping from beneath the toilet where they plan on sleeping. In fact, they've already slept a little bit. And then they woke up to rap at you for maybe
toilet bowl,
and then they fucking go back to sleep.
Where you want to go? Below toilet bowl, I'm going to rap for you. And then you're going to have to take a poo and put it on the face going down the pace. Yeah, that's pretty much.
Again, that's too good. How about this? Toilet bowl. My bitch love toilet bowls. How about that?
You're done.
Now that's a real mumble rap.
That was pretty good. You're way better.
That was
than
a little too articulated, actually.
A little bit. So
you
need have
to
some
wonder
names.
If you're hearing toilet bowl or something else entirely.
Exactly. Yeah, you're hearing toy boat. Do you have? I have a list here, and what I love about this, it's called the best mumble rappers. That's this list.
That's what I want. Don't go. Look, Lonzo, I think is.
He's not on this list.
Is he?
He's not. Not this one I found. No.
I thought maybe he was one of the best.
I think he's the best. Yeah, absolutely. But
all right, well, go ahead. Let's just hear the list of what you've
found. Do you want to just read this one? Okay. This one, I'm just going to read it straight. Cardi B, and I don't agree with that, but 21 Savage, Kodak Black, Playboi Carti, Triple X Temptation, Rich the Kid, 6699, it's a letter 6.
Tekashi 6ix9ine, perhaps?
No, it's the number 6 IX and then the number 9 NINE. According to this
now
list.
We're getting into it where you just don't even know what to say. In fact, it's not something that you can say out loud.
You have
go ahead.
If you're a mumble rapper with a mumble name, I think you have peaked. He's got a mumble name, 6ix9ine. 6ix9ine. We talked about, anyway. Then there's Trippie Redd, Lil Yachty, Lil Uzi Vert.
That's right.
Okay, Young Thug. I respect that name, Young Thug.
He doesn't fit in.
And then,
just because of his name.
I'm going to read I'm not going to read the next one. I'm going to read it last. I'm going to read the following three. Lil Pump, Migos, and Future. Mm-hmm. Right? And the one I skipped was, this is what it says, this list of best mole rappers. Are you ready? You're going to get blown away. Travis Scott.
That's great.
Really? I mean, we're talking
ladies and gentlemen, the Reverend Dr. Travis Scott III, Esquire.
I tell you what it is. This is a dude who was like coming down from a real bad heroin run, and he's sitting in the corner of a diner, and someone recorded him and said, "That's mumble rap." And he's just like, "I don't know what I'm going to do. I was fucked up right now. I was going to go down to be Miss Hammersey, and then I'm going to have 12 cookies." And they're like, "That's a mumble rap. Record it. Put a beat behind it. Boom."
Again, what you just said, you need to dumb it down a little bit.
I'm trying.
You keep like veering into more sophisticated kind of creation. Or like a creative process, and that we need to completely abandon that if we're going to do mumble rap correctly.
We should.
Hey,
this list,
I would like
by
you
the
to
way,
hear if you don't mind. I hate to cut you off.
Yeah, go ahead. Yeah.
I hate to say that I hate to cut you off because I say it like 5 million times an episode. How about this? Can we hear a song called "Tony Montana" by Future?
Yeah, sure.
I think this is an older. This is I think was the beginning of the whole fucking mess.
Like Tony Montana, like the character?
Tony Montana, yeah.
By Future?
By okay. Future. And this, I think this was like back in 2011. So this guy was like really paving the way for fucking idiots everywhere.
Honestly, Joe, the way you spoke about mumble rap, God, these Wrong Island ISTs are getting to me. The way you talked about it last week, I just loved it. The way you were like, you said, "Now, this guy makes Lil Pump look like Mozart." It just
yeah, well, I wasn't kidding, though.
You weren't. All right, let me turn off the background music here. And, okay, here's Future Tony Montana. I may have to turn up. Oh, well, first there's an ad. Let's see. What we got here? It's a kid with tattoos and a Mariner shirt. His name is Jay Park. And he's giving us his thoughts on taking risks. Yeah, okay, pass.
That's the ad for Future. Okay. Wow.
Yeah, let me turn this up. Oh, it's Spanish. I learned Spanish.
Now, full disclosure, I've never heard this whole song. I heard about 15 seconds of it, and I was like, okay!
Alright. So far, I like it.
Now, yeah, but count how many times he says Tony Montana correctly.
Okay. Okay, do I need to go on?
No, I think you're good.
Yeah. So apparently...
Anyway, what year is that from? Now we're looking to the history of mumble rap.
Well, his name is Future, and this is what I love about the internet. It's telling me that he's going to play a show nearby me in November, so I go see Future in the future. First,
you can go sing along.
The first YouTube comment is Tuwani Muontiana.
That's fucking right.
So apparently if you want to make a mumble rap, all you can do is pick a phrase and repeat it 12 times or 100 times in the beginning. Mm-hmm. Like when
that
you
works.
Do toilet bowl again. That was really good the way you did it.
Toilet bowl, toilet bowl, toilet bowl. Toilet bowl, toilet bowl, toilet bowl, toilet bowl, toilet bowl, toilet bowl. My bitch died next to a toilet bowl.
Seriously, you've got to obscenitize or re-obscenitize a mumble rap song. Dude, you got that. That's freaking awesome. What year is this from? It said 2011.
Yeah, I thought so. See, that goes back. See, mumble rap, the origins of mumble rap go back a ways.
That's
but
really
you can
scary.
See how that was the beginning, though. Do you hear that? Do you hear the origin
of
this shit?
Yeah.
Where Tone I feel like the guy, I feel like they were holding him up. Like there was a guy holding him up under his arms and like positioning him over the microphone.
Yeah.
And they told him to say Tony Montana 18 times and he couldn't fucking do it once. And then he made $1 million.
He made him. Because that's what it comes down to.
Because
right?
It was so good, apparently. It was such a good song.
It was,
so well crafted.
Then he made $1 million. Mm-hmm. Oh, geez. Yeah, I really feel like this is ripe for somebody to cut, like a Sacha Baron Cohen to come in and just do a fake one that everyone is like, "Oh, that was the shit." And he's that was the. Like Tool did that.
Saturday
Remember?
Night Live did do that, but we decided it was too good.
It was really
so that's
good.
That's what you're saying. So somebody needs to actually come in and. All right. Well, I'll give it a try.
Yeah, you should do
that
at
some point. We got to wait several months though before the next music episode. Maybe I'll come prepared. And what I'll do is I'll try it's impossible to obscenitize a mumble rap, because half of seriously, if you go through, I don't know if you've been sampling this stuff, but you know, it used to be gangster rap in the 90s, everyone's like, okay, well, that's just bitches and guns and, you know, and drugs and violence and stuff, and people, you know, took issue with that. Yeah. Well, there is a bit of an overlap, because these guys can't seem to mumble about anything except bitches and drugs. Now, I don't hear them talk a whole lot about guns, but I do see them waving around what look like BB guns.
Well, they're always shooting themselves, like, right? I mean, how many of these mumble rappers have been in the news for shooting? Lil Pump shot himself. Let's see. Mumble.
I understand that Triple X Tentacion.
He gave him a little Spanish flair. Tentacion. Triple X
Tentacion. Well, I don't know how to pronounce it. Well, I don't know. Some of his colleagues have names like XX6QF.5. And it's like... So I'd rather pronounce Triple X Tentacion. Anyway, the late Triple X Tentacion, I believe that he was gunned down.
Was he? Oh, no. I have to Google that now. XXX.
Now, again, I'm dead. Still like circling second. Down the drain of this genre. And he died on June 18th, a whole lot poor of guy. Guns, but say what?
He died on June 18th, you're right. He was murdered. Look, was I murdered. Am 100%, 100% for a listener, authentically not glad anybody got shot.
Neither am I. But I do get concerned. And looking back, because now I'm an old man, you know, glorifying violence is just not a good thing.
No,
but
it's not. I'm
not going to.
And you know who's
God
the worst?
Damn kids, you're being irresponsible with your music. I'm going to go there, but we're not going to stay there.
There is a Wikipedia page on the murder of Triple X Tentacion. There's a not just on him, but on the murder. Joe.
He was murdered.
He was murdered. And there's a map. I can see the street. I can go to the house. It's in Deerfield Beach, Florida. This is terrible.
Well, and again, I don't mind kind of expressing my disdain or kind of just making fun of mumble rap, because it's astonishing to me. It's confusing to me. But I don't want anybody. I'm not happy that this person was murdered. But here's an even bigger problem, and I was talking about this when it comes to Lonzé, because I was afraid that Lonzé might have all sorts of different problems. Maybe developmental delays. Maybe he was born intellectually challenged. I'm not sure.
Or drug.
He might also be, in addition to this, like kind of a malignant sociopath. That's a problem. But I think maybe his biggest problem is drugs.
Yeah.
And there's one constant theme through mumble rap. They all talk about like pill popping,
right?
And they'll talk about it again. I think it was Lil Xan that gave his performance, one of his videos. He's rapping, of course, incomprehensibly, from the floor of a bathroom beneath a toilet. You thought I was just making a joke.
No, I didn't.
I think this is a concern. Now, if you were to look up how many mumble rappers have died of a drug overdose, I can think of at least one, but I don't think there's only just been one.
Oh, there's got to be.
So we're talking about one dude that has been murdered, but Lil, let me see. He's one of the Lils.
Well, I can right here.
Lil Big still lives, right? So is Lil Bitch.
Yeah.
But Lil Pump lives.
Lil Fat. Lil Fat was murdered.
Did he die?
Lil Fat was murdered June 7, 2012 in Sandy Springs,
Georgia.
Oh, no,
but I'm talking about... Okay, so that's another one that was murdered.
Yeah.
How about the one... Lil Peep.
Lil Peep?
Look him up.
Mm-hmm. Lil Peep. Yeah, folks, welcome to the... This is Lil Peep. Who is this... I'm looking at pictures of this guy, and he's all forehead, and so he tattooed it. Well, I guess, you know, if you got it, flaunt it.
But is he still alive, or did I get the name wrong?
Oh, no, he died. Let's see. On November 15, 2017, was found dead in his tour bus. Check on him. Foul play was not suspected. Let's see. He claims to have ingested psilocybin. How do you say that? Psilocybin? The mushrooms.
What do you mean he claims to have before he died?
Well, he posted this on Instagram apparently.
Oh my God! Right before he died?
Yeah, he said on Instagram he was taking mushrooms and marijuana concentrate, also Xanax, and then some identified pill. So yeah, he clearly overdosed. Poor guy.
All right, so there is, you know what? It is kind of a, I guess it's a long running theme through gangster rap and now mumble rap, except there's more colored dreadlocks and there's more Xanax than marijuana. Right. But yeah, that's concerning, isn't here, it?
It is. It's very concerning. I want to say a couple of things just real quick. Actually, I want to say something that may spark you to talk about this at length. It might end up taking up the rest of the show, but you mentioned the death of Triple X Tentacion.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I just got a text from my dad saying, did you post tonight's podcast yet? I guess he's excited about the fact that I'm quoting him. Anyway.
He loves his contributions. So do I.
Danger League Daniels is awesome. On June 19th, the day after Triple X Tentacion's death, Billboard reported that Taylor Swift's Spotify single-day streaming record for Look What You Made Me Do was broken by Triple X Tentacion's track Sad! With 10.4 million streams compared to Swift's 10.1.
After his death?
Yeah. Now, I'm not saying, you know, good for him or bad for him. I'm just saying that is the way it is. So, the reason I point that out to you, Joe, is because I think that there is a definite correlation between the kinds of music that become popular and the political landscape as seen through the eyes of youth. And this has been true since, I'm going to go ahead and say, the 50s. That, and one very obvious, very, very obvious aspect of this was the 50s, 60s, and very early 70s folk music uprising, right? As a response to the Korean and Vietnam Wars, right?
Yep.
And I'm also going to point to punk rock. When did punk rock take off? Reagan, Thatcher. That's right. Mm-hmm. And I think that also we look at like bubblegum pop, right? Your Britney Spears's, your, because she was at the end of it, your Tiffany's, your Katrina and the Waves, not really, but I can't think
and
of
what
else.
Type of what?
And that was a response, I think, to the remarkable economic growth under Clinton. And I think if you look at, like, you remember how over the turn of the century you had a lot of white boy whiner rock slash rap kind of fusion? And that was during the Bush, the end of the Clinton and the beginning of the Bush era. So I think now we've got these mumble rappers who are basically all just kids taking Xanax, essentially, and they're basically just like, this political era we live in, there's no hope, right? The world is going to be nothing but an oven for the rest of eternity, right? You've got all these political parties that are fighting tooth and nail, and we're the weapons that they use to kill us with, and they're like, fuck it, I'm just going to drop some, you know, laudanum or some dilaudid or whatever, and I'm going to rap about, you know, like, Dr. Pepper, Dr. Pepper, Dr. Pepper, Dr. Pepper, put in my vodka now, gosh, on iced tea. You know what I'm saying? It's just...
Now, that was pretty good, by the way.
Thank you. I'm getting drunk.
That is, so it helps. Wasn't good enough, and therefore it was perfect. So, but you're saying this is a political response.
Not ipso facto.
But just like
the,
a behavioral, though.
It's not like,
look, I've got this statement about the hopelessness of the world, and let me tell you all about it. I think Smoke Perp said it best when he said,
exactly. I don't think that they're even maybe necessarily cognizant of politics per se. I'm using politics as a hot word for
amen.
Just the zeitgeist in general of the world's fucked. And there's not much that can be done about it. Like, the baton, so to speak, of what could be done has been passed through the millennials to this next generation. And I think they're actually quite capable. You've got your David Hoggs and that other gal from that school that got shut up who were, like, taking charge. And I really love what they're doing. But I think the vast majority of kids who are their age are like, we're at a point in our world's history where economically we're better off than we ever been before. Unemployment is as low as it's ever been in history. Poverty is at the lowest it's ever been in history, and yet we have no hope. And so they're like, "Fuck it, I'm just gonna smoke some doobies." I have an anecdote about doobies, by the way, but I'm gonna smoke some doobies and make some million-dollar hits based on those and inputs.
And they're just going to enjoy
No, they're not enjoying it. They're not enjoying it. They're not.
Oh, I see.
Yeah. That's my theory. Anyway.
It's hard for me to take this perspective that you're describing.
What do you mean?
That is – no, I think that you're right. I just – when I try to reflect on it and go, so what they mean is – they just want to – I'm thinking Jim Morrison shit. That's how old school I'm getting, because he was like, well, I'm going to get my kicks before the shit house goes up in flames.
Yeah.
And he just enjoyed himself. And another marked difference between mumble rap and, let's say, Jim Morrison is that there was actual poetic verse involved, some would argue.
Yeah, I mean
– look, Jim Morrison compared to Lil Xan – fucking brilliant. I don't care who you are.
I don't know.
I don't care if you hate the Doors. You can hate the Doors with all your heart and then listen to the Doors and listen to Lil Xan directly one after the other, and you would be like, Jim Morrison is a fucking genius.
Well, sure, comparatively, but I think I may have pointed this out on one of our music episodes, where if you take your average person and say, hey, would you say Bach and Beethoven kind of the same? You say, they go, yeah, that's about the same. But if you talk to people in Beethoven's day and said, hey, is what Beethoven doing the same as that old Bach guy? They were like, fuck no, it's completely different. If you could find somebody.
Yeah, how could you even compare the two?
Yeah, that's ridiculous. And 500 years from now, people look back and say, Lil Xan and Jim Morrison and Elvis and the big band. Oh, yeah, that music was all great. And wait, you're lumping them all together? Sure, it's on the same radio station. It's on the oldies, so.
That's on the classical station, not even the oldies. Exactly. We're going really far into the future.
I'm bitch Pollyanna. So it's definitely true that you and I are ill-equipped to judge mumble rap per se, but I think I can say that mumble rap is a reaction to the state of the world as it is, which is the same as what folk was, which is the same as what punk was, which is the same as what, wine rock is. Not wine.
Again, I do think you're being generous, but I think there is – I think you're accurate here.
Well, I just
– that is – I think there's less – I think there is now with mumble rap less artistry involved.
Well –
than punk rock, or than, especially folk rock in the 60s. You actually had to know how to play music. Punk rock, a little bit less so, but I have even enjoyed that, and there was a certain amount of edge and artistry about it. Mumble rap, I can't say the same. I feel like if it's a reaction politically, it's a behavioral reaction.
Absolutely.
More so than an artistic reaction. The only distinction I would make.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm not trying to – I think you agree. I don't think – necessarily, I don't know Jim Morrison, but I don't think that necessarily Jim Morrison sat down one day and said, I'm going to focus everything I do on responding to the way the world is. I don't think he did that. And definitely, Lil Pump is not doing that. But,
when it comes to his attitude, he was more of a punk rocker. So, if you look at folk rock, that was activist rock.
Yeah,
all of this, activist music, and there still is that, and there has been, throughout the history of music since the 50s, like you said.
Yeah, well, this is what I'm getting
but
at.
I think Jim Morrison was more of a punk rocker, because he wasn't being an activist. He was a punk rocker in that he was I don't give a fuck, fuck this.
Exactly.
It was a fuck this thing, as opposed to we need to change this. It was fucking I don't care. And now, actually, if you look at that on a graph, mumble rap is the perfect successor to that.
Absolutely.
It's more than I don't give – it's I don't give a fuck so much that I don't even care if I say things.
Exactly. I was going to say
and
that.
And I'm going to be fucked up. I'm going to be completely incomprehensible and on the verge of death while I'm on the microphone. In fact, somebody's pointing the microphone at me while I'm dying next to a fucking toilet.
Exactly. And that's the genius of it, because I was going to – dude, you brought me to 2 points. One that I was going to make – one is that essentially you could say that all these music responses to the social order are – They're each anarchical in their own way. There's a kind of anarchy. I'll even say the rock and roll, when it was invented by Bill Haley in the Comets back in the day, and you got your folk music, or I don't know,
It was like bucking. It was bucking conformity.
Yeah, it's anarchical. It's like saying, hey, I don't know what to replace the present system with. I'm just going to be against it, right? And so these mumble rappers, like, clearly you're not going to ask them, well, how would you take care of our agricultural tariff problem? They're just like, you said a word. They would I don't know, fuck it, let's just talk, right?
Or, well, then talk, there's a clear mumble. Connection, too. Actually, you could, in a way, Sid Vicious was a mumble rapper.
Absolutely, yeah. And see,
I just want to draw that comparison that makes even more sense,
and this takes me
Sid
to my
Vicious
other point.
Himself,
yeah, well, he was, this takes me to my other point, the only reason that the Sex Pistols got together was because some dude, this is absolutely true, look it up, some dude posted an ad in a newspaper saying, looking for some young people to create some shitty music. I'm paraphrasing, but that's what it was. They came together, like, they answered an ad. Yeah. And when we were watching, or I was watching, you were listening to that Lonze rap from last week, and we're watching it. The cinematography was adequate. It was tight. I'm not going to win awards, but it did the job.
That's actually, that takes some craft, actually.
Absolutely.
To present it that way. That's where the production quality comes in. Even the beats are not bad.
That's what I was going to say. So in as much as, you know, we can make fun of Lil Pump because all he does is repeat Gucci Gang for half an hour, somebody with skill that they learned is making it into what it is, right? And that's the same is going to be true for Sid Vicious, and the same is true for the folk singers back in the day. And at any given moment, the only reason we even hear Tiffany singing in a mall is because somebody did the hard-ass work that I know that I couldn't do, the hardest work of getting the permits and the marketing and the permissions and the promotions and the money to whoever needs the money to sing in that mall in the first place, right? There is craft. There is expertise going on. Yeah, and somebody's making a buck, and I guess that's the whole point, right? But I think the irony of all of this anarchical stuff is that it still, at the end of the day, serves a bottom line. Spotify streamed 2.4 million versions of XXX Tentacion's a song Sad! Exclamation point, and made a shit ton of fucking money off this guy's death. And that's what music today is.
Well,
end of podcast.
That's not necessarily new. Musicians dying and then, you know, there being a renewed interest or some elevated interest in their music, that's not new. So, I don't know. I'm glad that I get to talk with you about this stuff, just because I get to look at it from, I think, a more interesting. I just get so weirded out and disgusted by it that I don't think I think clearly.
Well, I don't think there's anything wrong, Joe. Look, I am so not judging you for thinking mumble rap is a bunch of shit, because you have particular tastes and you should be allowed your opinion. If somebody said, hey, Joe, I heard you like music, so I got you a Lil Pump CD, you're allowed to punch them in the face as hard as you want, even if it's your grandma. Now, I think all of your grandmas have passed away, so if you need to punch your zombie grandma in the face for bringing a Lil Pump CD to your house, that is fine with me.
I so badly want to put that into a montage. I don't know what kind. I think it's going to go on the horror one, the next horror one.
Probably should, yeah.
Yes.
Speaking of horror, sorry to change the subject rapidly, but we're at minute 44, and...
This is how it goes. We start talking about this shit, and we've completely lost track of time.
We're still up.
Shall we pay? Shall we?
We gotta pay
a little bit. It's all been mumble rap, for Christ's sake. Let's change the subject. Let's mix it up. Come on.
So let's do this. So Larko I called them up and I said, hey, we didn't get to your ad last week. And they said, that's cool, baby. Don't you even worry about it. I was like, MDMA? They're like, yeah, that's right. That's right. Anyway, it's tough to talk to those guys sometime. But I've got a Larco ad, and I believe you have an ad that is a, well, I'll let you describe it. How would you describe it as a,
Well, how about this? Let's do the Larco thing.
Okay.
I'm excited to hear it. They understand where our theme is, and, I trust Larco.
Okay.
And then after that, we'll go into the word from our sponsor, and I'll describe that then.
Okay, so here is the Larco. Are you ready? And three, and two, and... Does this sound familiar? Oh, I'm sorry. I was supposed to play the sound of somebody snoring at this point. Thanks, Joe. Perfect. Does this sound familiar? A little too familiar? Does that fat tub of lard who you sleep next to keep you up all night with his tonsil tunes? Are you tired of being woken up and forced to listen to another night of Maestro Logsaw and his adenoid orchestra? You're losing sleep, you're bored out of your mind, all because Darth Vader in an echo chamber made of mucus over there is flapping and rattling his uvula for 6 hours straight. Or even worse, if you're the one who snores, are you tired of hearing all about it the next morning? It's like a good night's sleep's going to do anything for that bag of wrinkles. You know what would be great? If there was a way to make that wheezing whale song at least a little entertaining. Well, now there is, thanks to Larco. Introducing our new strap-on snorioki machine. Wrap this bad boy around your throat, chase a few Dilaudid with a shot of vodka, and turn sleep apnea into sleep clap your hands because you finally found a way to make somebody happy in bed. Larco's strap-on snorioki machine uses an advanced waveform-recognizing artificial intelligence to detect, capture, modulate, and rebroadcast those sweet sounds of somnolence, auto-tuned to match a variety of popular musical artists. Lie back and listen to electric phlegmy covers of Blondie, Grand Funk Railroad, Nickelback, and of course, Joan Grande's little girl, Ariana. Larco's strap-on snorioki machine is not available in stores, but if you order it online and use our code at checkout, JBC, Larco will throw in a set of restless leg tambourines to add just a touch of 70s feel-good panache to your flailing ankles. Just pay a small shipping and handling fee. Tired of skyrocketing credit card bills because of disposable earplug purchases? Want to rock your spouse's body for the first time like it's 1999 or whatever? Larco's strap-on snorioki machine.
All right.
Man, I got to tell you what, drinking several Wrong Island iced teas before doing a Larco ad works when I hear it.
I loved it.
I don't know about you.
You know what? When was the last time we do?
We do?
Oh, my goodness. Did you hear that sentence?
I did.
I've only had two drinks, but okay. Larco, it's been a while, so I missed it.
Last time we did
it seems like it's been a while.
It's episode 75.
When was the last time we do? See, now I'm just going to do the whole podcast in mumble rap. When was the last time we do Larco?
Clear sock, crocs, lead a sock, crocs, lead a sock, crocs, lead a sock, shaw. Still new, new head, in regulation, clear sock, crocs. That was episode 75.
Snorn bitch, snorn bitch, snorn bitch. Motherfucking big fat snorn bitch.
So do you have an ad as well, Joe?
That was rough.
That was really good.
Okay, so, you know, in the tradition of transparency,
yeah,
or in the tradition of lies, because we have both of those traditions on JBC.
Yeah, we do.
I was sad because we had, you know, this is our part two, which we've never done the same theme twice in a row.
Yeah.
I was sad because I had this idea of what I wanted to do. I wasn't able to do it.
Yeah.
There was an ad that was supposed to come in that did not come in, and I was excited for it because I thought it was going to be like just a really cool thing for me to be involved with.
Clark Media fuckies who dropped the ball on this one?
Yeah, probably.
Okay.
Clark Marketing Solutions.
Yeah.
CMS. Sometimes their solutions are problems. But anyway,
yeah.
I was sad that I couldn't be a part of that.
Were you triple X tenacion sad exclamation point?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But then I learned that one of our previous sponsors are having the same. They had a special.
Yeah.
And we had they had sponsored us before, and I had described it. So we're going to go ahead and run that ad again. And I don't want to. I don't want our listener to think that this is something that we do often, but it is something that I do out of laziness.
Well, here, so, let me just say this, that I'm going to talk over your intro. Radio stations do the same ad 12, 1500 times. I've heard the same goddamn ad on Pandora every day since I was born, which is amazing since Pandora was not around when I was born, but that's how much they've done it. So I think you're totally 100% justified here, Joe.
All right, well, here, let me insert the argument for cancellation. One thing that we have tried to do is to not repeat ourselves, to make...
And keep going. This is a twofer, listener.
Wait, this is good. Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the Arguments for Cancellation, which is strangely embedded into the word from our sponsors.
Yeah.
And all I have to say is we decided to not repeat ads because all other radio shows and podcasts do that.
That's right.
And we decided not to. And, you know, if I were to just adhere to our most creative and innovative ideas, then maybe we could keep the podcast going. But what you're about to hear is going to go straight against that and fuck that entire idea up. And I'm not speaking well, which is another argument for us to cancel this podcast, because I am one of the hosts of the podcast. Okay, so give me the outro.
Well, no, I got to do the ad first. The ad argument. No?
No, I was embedding the argument for cancellation. Okay. Hold on, stop it. Jason, please stop it.
I don't remember that. I swear to God.
Okay, there's lots of problems here, and I'm glad this is part of the argument for cancellation, too. Oh, Jesus. Oh, sweet Jesus.
Sometimes.
Okay.
That is better.
So the clip that was sent to us was just someone playing the instrument.
Yeah.
And that is, it's a whole lot of dogs chained to a floor.
Yeah.
And they each have a note that they bark, and if you kick them correctly.
Yeah.
It's a special at Guitar Center.
Yeah.
And it's called the Blarp.
The Blarp.
It's just a bunch of dogs, and if you kick them correctly, then you can,
And we've had
create a tune. Now, there was an entire pre-recorded ad for Blarp, which I thought they would send us the entire ad so we could just play it again and so it could be explained. But they just sent footage. They just sent an audio clip of someone playing the instrument. Clearly, they thought that I would be able to explain it again, but they didn't bring me. There's no copy here.
No, I don't remember this at all.
It's all fucked up. God,
it's all fucked
it.
Up. And you know what? That's the nature of that's rock and roll, baby. That's rock and roll.
Yeah, that was punk rock.
That's
shit.
Some punk rock rate shit right there. Shit,
honestly,
rock,
can you play
punk.
Just a couple of bars from the Blarp thing? Because I think
Absolutely.
It's kind of mumble rappy.
It is mumble rap. Here, tell you what, you're very good at this improv stuff, Joe. Why don't you mumble rap over the blarp. What do you think? Can you
No, I'm going to beatbox behind it.
Oh, you want me mumble rap on top of it?
No. Like, hit the blarp thing where the somebody's kicking the dogs.
Yeah.
I think that's the Blue Danube, by the way. There's no way I can beatbox over that. So.
Okay, we'll stop.
Am I right? Does that sound right?
It's the I think blue you're right.
JBC, motherfucker.
Yeah, word.
Word. Oh, man. Yeah, so
do you want to mumble rap and then I'll beatbox?
No.
Is there a delay or we're not going to be able to do that?
We won't do it. We'll do it like next time we're together as a family.
Okay.
Did I send you a text today in Spanish?
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, was it today? Yeah. You did.
So the next time that we're together, you and I will figure out a way to mumble rap. You'll beatbox and I'll mumble rap in Spanish, because in as much as you have been very graciously telling me that my mumble raps are too sophisticated, trust me, if they're in Spanish, they will suck shit. So I don't think there's any problem with
us
getting
super famous. Well, that's the standard that we need to hit if we're going to do a real mumble rap, dude.
Absolutely. So we got 5 minutes left in the show, Joe. Did we address all the musical things you want to address? Because we didn't address all the things I wanted to. And we're going to take a hard left if we bring up my stuff. So I want you to have a chance to go first.
I just wanted to keep talking about mumble rap, and boy howdy. Did I just say that?
You said boy howdy, yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah, I got everything out that I needed to. I don't ever need to bring up mumble rap again, but somehow I think it will reemerge in our conversation.
Okay.
Why don't you come on? What do you got?
Okay,
we got 5 minutes left. Let's
four
do 10 minutes.
Now, yeah.
Come on, motherfucker.
So at the risk of us getting into a whole new subject that we have to do another show about next week. I don't think we will.
Music part three.
Music three. 2 weeks ago when you said, let's do a music episode, I said that I was going to do nothing but listen to Breaking Benjamin in anticipation of the show, right? And you're familiar with Breaking Benjamin? The band?
No, why don't you tell me about it?
Are you serious? You don't know Breaking Benjamin?
No, don't be that guy.
What guy?
It's like, hey, have you ever heard this band? No. You never heard of that band?
But I'm like, seriously, Joe, you're...
I am that guy, by the way. But now you are that guy, too.
I guess
just tell me about it. Just go.
Well, they're one of these, you know, wine rock bands that consider themselves, like, post-grunge, alt-metal, right? And, like, no. But,
okay.
Here, let me play a sample of their stuff after this fucking ad plays. God damn it, YouTube. Why do you do this to me? No one wants to buy your shitty notebooks, Ocean. Just, I have to listen to the whole ad, too.
If we didn't blatantly steal from YouTube, we wouldn't have to worry about this
shit. Yeah, well, you know what? We're Americans. Okay, can you hear that? Yeah, you probably can't hear that.
Well, no, turn it up a little bit.
Oh. You like that?
Ladies and gentlemen, Limp Bizkit.
Okay, you recognize that? That's Breaking Benjamin, right? And I fucking love them. I love them. I think they're amazing.
You know what? As soon as they got into it, I felt bad that I said Limp Bizkit, because clearly that's fucking better than Limp Bizkit.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
And mumble rap's better than Limp Bizkit. And Fred Durst
My apologies.
Fred Durst can, like, come to my house and fight me if he wants to. Actually, if he came to my house, I'd be like, dude, tell me all about what you did, because you're a rock star. Here's some more Breaking Benjamin.
No,
Fred Durst, I mean, the music sucks, but his skills as a producer and a promoter, he knows what he's doing. Listen, Breaking Benjamin is
I would like to hear his last recording be him doing mumble rap from beneath the toilet. But that was a little harsh.
He did it all for the nookie.
You're right.
The nookie,
he
the
had
nookie,
his pulse
the nookie,
on
the nookie. The nookie.
You know, he
the
had
nookie.
His fingers on the pulse of
the
new metal.
He had his fingers on the pulse of the nookie. Is what he had his fingers on the pulse of.
Okay. God
so
damn
listen,
it.
Listen.
Good
this
job. Go ahead.
Here's what I'm getting at. Last how many minutes we got left? Last 1 minute of the show. I like Breaking Benjamin, but they are at the very edge of my ability to like music. And there is a fine line between Breaking Benjamin and Linkin Park. And Linkin Park is on the other side of the edge. If you put Breaking Benjamin and Linkin Park next to each other, they define the edge of my ability to listen to music. Like, sometimes Breaking Benjamin, they go over the line. Sometimes Linkin Park come over on my side. But they are the definition of the border. They are the war front between music I like and music that I think is shit. They're just right there next to each other.
You're right.
Yeah.
You are going into, oh shit, maybe we do need part three.
We might.
I know exactly what you're talking about. And Linkin Park is kind of right there for me too. Though yeah. I saw them live a few years back and I was like, oh shit, that's just good. Sorry.
No, I bet if I saw them live before that dude killed himself or died of an overdose or got in a car wreck.
Fuck, he died too. God damn it.
I bet I would enjoy the show because, let's face it, there'd be a lot of ladies there in their mid-20s who would probably, after having a lot of Wrong Island iced teas, be willing to let me look at them for half an hour. I don't know what I'm saying right now. I've had a lot to drink. Show's over. Joe, what are we going to talk about next week?
I animals, do have an idea.
Aminals, unicorns, dragons,
duck-billed
platypi.
So you got that text.
I did.
Well, listen, everybody. I just wanted you to hear that.
You did a good job.
This is the thing. I do think that doing an animal episode would be fun because there's so many crazy beasts on this planet that if we got a conversation going, like if you brought three or four that freaked you out a little bit or that you thought were fascinating, and I brought some too, and then I talked to my wife and she was like, I'd like to bring a couple of animals.
I
was like,
well,
why don't you bring Shags on too? And she could bring some animals that freak
her out. We haven't heard Shags in four freaking ever. Dude.
I know.
Whatever brings Shags to the show, that's our topic. If it's animals, so wheat. I had to kill a spider before today's show.
I'm going to tell my wife that you were hoping that she would come on the show, too. I know that you're a Shags enthusiast, but...
I'm a Shags enthusiast, and I'm a Pauline enthusiast. I want them both. I want them here talking about unicorns and narwhals and duck-billed platypi and...
Wouldn't that be fun?
Absolutely.
And then we could bring, you know, I'm sure that some sponsors would come in and Larco would have something really interesting, and we would just have the girls from QJU come in, and we'll all talk about animals. It'll be a lot of fun. But that's not next week. Next week is nothing.
Oh, nothing?
Yeah.
We're going to do a bareback?
Yeah, I was thinking about it today. To call it bareback every time, can we call it like rando or something else? Because every time, bareback is just like, it's so sexual. All right, let's stick with that.
What's the name of the guy who plays the guy in that movie Split? From the movie Split? Split. I'm going to look it up. Split. S-P-L-I-T.
Yeah.
But the dude with multiple personality disorder, which doesn't exist. James McAvoy. From now on, we're going to call our random episodes James McAvoy's.
Cool. You know what? We can switch things up. We can do whatever the fuck we want here.
Yeah.
I'm just thinking...
JBC is anarchy.
Okay, how about this? We used to have a shared notes, like show notes.
We did,
So we could share with each other what we might want to bring up and like the funny things that we're thinking of. And then we realized that doesn't work on our show because we want that. We don't want to share that or collaborate with each other on it. We want to surprise each other with shit.
Yeah.
Well, I've got my own personal notes thing, and it's just getting so long. I have so much random shit to talk about that I need a random episode to expel the shit. Like,
I love it.
Cathartically expel it.
Next
week. So we need to do that next week, yeah.
All right, JBC family, next week, Joe's notes. Joe's notes. Notes from Joe. Letters from
what about
the
your notes?
Brain of Joe.
You know what, you're going to have plenty to say.
You know what I'll do? If I need to, I will read the tweets I've been tweeting on Just Be Cousins. Because
perfect.
They are random as fuck. All right. Wakesop, take us home.
Hey, wait, Jason.
Okay, go ahead.
This is a music episode. I'd like for you to stop the Wakesop and put on a random track by Hojas de Brujas.
Who?
Hojas de Brujas.
Hojas de Hubras.
No, it's Eyes of the Wizard. So it's Ojos de Brujos. Eyes of the Wizard.
Ojos de Hubros?
Brujos.
Brujos.
Warlocks. Wizards.
Brujos. Oh, there you go. Ojos de Brujos. Wow.
I know I just sprung that on you.
You
but
did. I like it.
But I think it'll be a good way. It's a music episode.
Let me
and
see
I
if I can... Yeah, I'm going to do some DJ shit right here. Nope. Fucking ads.
Excuse me.
Yeah.
The show will end when Joe shouts.
Is that you, Clap?
It is.
Snapping your fingers. Oh.
Sorry. Can't help it.
Wonderful. Good evening. I did do my screamy thing. So how about this?